Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Join us now as we begin our discussion entitled, Seven Vital Steps for Building a Christian Family, Part 1. So we're starting a new series.
And
we think maybe at least 6 or 7 weeks, maybe more, depending on how, you know,
how long the conversation goes.
If our conversation goes too long, we may have to stretch it out a little bit. But one of the things we do in our couples conferences and our family conferences is we're always noticing that there are some passages that you have to master.
Yes.
And we're gonna examine an Old Testament passage that the entire chapter is about the family.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have learned in that chapter has been phenomenal in our home.
Yes.
And so we hope to share some of these things with you. We're going to call this series, Seven Vital Steps to Building a Christian Family.
Mm.
And we're in Deuteronomy 6. So I'd recommend you consider reading this week, Deuteronomy 6. It's 25 verses.
Uh-huh.
And we'll read sections of it each week as we come on.
Right.
And for these first few weeks, we're going to be in the first introductory section there.
Right.
And Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 1. And Bethany's going to read it for us.
Right. So I'm just going to read verses 1 through 5 today. Chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, verse number 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might.
Now that is a powerful passage.
Yes, it is.
And a very important passage, and one that each of us ought to meditate on.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses, of course, God is talking to Moses there, and specifically the children of Israel.
Right.
And based on the context of Deuteronomy, what he's telling them is that the children of Israel should be living differently than, we would say, the heathen,
right,
the unconverted around them. And what he's saying is they should be living differently, but they should also be influencing their children and grandchildren to do the same.
Yes.
And this is a difficult one because I was thinking about it this morning. We like instant. We want an instant response to our text. We want an email back as fast as we can get it.
Mm-hmm.
We want Amazon Prime in one day as opposed to two. I mean, waiting two days for what we ordered online is ridiculous.
Difficult.
And the idea of when you can't get it on Prime and it's going to be a week away is like, are you kidding me?
Right. You don't even order it.
I'm not ordering it. It's not on Prime. I'm not doing it. And yet what I'm discovering is that sometimes I think we want that in our family.
Yes.
We want the idea that, well, here's a little problem so we can fix it.
Hmm.
But what I believe is that we often overlook in our culture is that this is a process of time.
Yes.
So when he says in Deuteronomy to the children of Israel, when he says, you've got to love the Lord and fear the Lord and you've got to impact your family in such a way that all is well with your life and your sons and your sons, your kids, your grandkids.
Right.
That's a lot of time.
It is.
And that's really hard on us. We want it fast. But you young parents out there, you know, you say you got a baby and your baby is 4 months old.
Mm.
Well, the fact of the matter is it's going to take a long time to accomplish the point of Deuteronomy 6.
Right.
It's going to take facing life with a biblical worldview.
Mm-hmm.
Helping your children to have a biblical worldview,
right?
Training them in a biblical worldview,
mm-hmm.
Praying with them, winning them to Christ. It is a massive undertaking.
It is. And that's why it should start early. We talked at the beginning, you were talking about the young couples with their little ones, because sometimes we wait and we think, oh, that's going to happen. It'll happen. My child's not old enough to understand this. We'll just wait till they're older. And as they get older, it just gets more difficult.
Yes, it does.
And you don't have as much time to invest.
Now, praise the Lord. Don't be discouraged if you have children that are, you know, in their teen years and you realize when you go to God's word that, you know, we haven't done well in some areas here because God is a God of new beginnings.
Yes.
And he does let you start over.
Yes.
And he can do miracles.
Yes, he
can. And all of us know somebody that came from a messed up just royally messed up family, and yet God worked in their life, and there's a new beginning.
Right.
So don't be discouraged, but really our heart is to say to you that our young parents or you're raising kids at home, Deuteronomy 6 can really help you. And it's so amazing to, it's so easy to overlook the importance of the home in the busyness of our day. And especially with maybe the prevalence of Christian education, we have to be cautious how we say this.
Right.
But for years, Bethany and I have been puzzled by the fact that we'll go to a church and maybe say this church's youth group would be primarily made up of either, say, Christian school kids, or we go to another one that's primarily homeschool kids, or we go to one that's primarily public school kids. And of course, I can stop here, you that are youth pastors and pastors, and just say to you, that often when a Christian school, when a youth group is made up of primarily Christian school kids, primarily public school kids, primarily homeschool kids, that probably is an indication that something is not healthy.
Right.
Because our youth group should be a conglomeration of all the options out there.
Absolutely.
And if you don't have any public school kids in your youth group, then it's time to take, maybe call a timeout and say, what are we doing wrong here?
Right.
How are we driving away one of the greatest and most important mission fields in the USA?
Absolutely.
We've got to do that. But the fact of the matter is, we'll go to a church, and we've done this, you know, this is our 28th year of traveling and evangelism, very shortly anyway, and are coming up on our 28th year. We've been in so many churches where the Christian school kids wouldn't sing, or they had a sullen attitude, or we find out, you know, boy, some kids in this school have gotten in trouble for some really dumb things, and peer pressure's negative and behavior's bad. And yet here's kids that's gone through the Christian school their whole life. So the question comes up then, why are these kids questioning the Bible and Christianity? Their mom and dad's a deacon in the church. Mom's on staff at the Christian school. What's going on here? We can also see the weird thing that kind of threw us in the early days of our ministry is that we would go to a church that was full of public school kids, and the kids were singing, serving,
happy,
on fire for God, drinking in the Word of God, sitting on the edge of their seat. Well, the question we had to wrestle with in the what's the difference there? Why is it that you can have a kid that's been raised in a Christian school, the Word of God, Christian teachers, quote unquote Christian worldviews and influences, and be so far from God? And then on the other hand, have a public school kid who's not had any of those options and be so close to God. And what we came to the conclusion of, and this happened and it transformed us, the whole difference is
the home.
It's the home.
It is.
And so I guess what we could say it like this. You can homeschool your kids and lose them if things aren't well in the home. You can send your kids to a Christian school kid and lose them to the world, and even they turn out and be almost atheistic, if not atheistic. If things aren't right in the home. And you can send your kids to a public school, and they really turn out to love God and do well if things are right in the home. So all we're trying to say here is that Deuteronomy 6 is saying, look, we're Christians, and we're to live differently than the culture around us, and in the process of doing so, we're to influence, lead, and teach our children and grandchildren to live differently as well.
I think this is a good time. All the focus of this is going to be the home, and to parents to be investing in their children based on the Deuteronomy 6 passage. But I would also say to pastors and youth pastors, there are kids in your church who don't have a good home life.
That's true.
And we know young men and young ladies who are wonderful Christian young people, and they are serving the Lord with all of their hearts, and they love the Lord with all of their hearts. But it took a youth pastor. It took a pastor to invest in them. It took a Titus II lady in the church to invest in them. So there are kids in your church who probably need your investment and aren't going to get that at home. But our focus with these, with this series will be to the Christian home.
And one of the things even, you know, we often forget in the church is that it's not just a youth pastor and pastor. If there's a young man in the church that's not doing well, a godly man in the church can influence him in incredible ways.
And
and we call that mentoring in our culture, and it is true. Paul did that with Timothy. We don't know all the details, but we can find in, I think it's in 1 Timothy chapter 1, rather, where he talks about all that he did with Timothy. He included him. He cared for him. He loved him. He cared about him. He served him. It wasn't his son, but boy, there was a lot of investment there that Paul gave to Timothy. So the home is just incredibly important. That's really what we're trying to say here. And the question we want you to consider perhaps in the coming weeks would be this. How are you doing in raising your family based on Bible-given responsibilities
right.
as a Christian family. Mm-hmm. How are you doing? And we don't want to be negative about it. We want to be very positive because the point of Deuteronomy 6 is you can have a Christian family.
Right.
And if you do, you can impact your kids and impact your grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at this stage of our life where we don't have any grandkids yet. And, you know, we brought that up more than a few times on this podcast. But what we can tell you is that even though it was always a work in progress and still is.
Yes.
And even though we're continually evaluating and making changes and recognizing, boy, we didn't do that as well as we could have, what we are finding is that having a godly Christian family pays off.
It does.
It's like when your kids are well and they're serving the Lord and they're reaching out to others and they're making an impact in their own life, doing what's right, honoring God.
Right.
And when you begin to see God's blessings in their life as a result of the decisions they're making based on what they learned in the home.
Yes.
I'm just telling you, moms and dads, that's an incredible way to live.
It is. And I feel like right now, if we were to find out tomorrow that we were going to be grandparents, which I'm no pressure really to our married children.
Are you serious about that?
I am serious. I mean, you know, that's their decision and the Lord's decision, but,
we're going to continue to talk about it though and bring it up and
because we really would love grandchildren.
Yes.
But if we were to find out that we have grandchildren on the way, I have no qualms about how David and Abby would be raising their children to love the Lord or sure. Josh and Bethany to raise their children to love the Lord.
And that's such a cool thing. That's such an encouraging
right.
and a blessed matter. And
we
so
have
here's,
no fear.
Here's the whole point. We're going to share with you 7 steps based on this Deuteronomy passage that every one of you parents can embrace.
Right.
You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Today was the beginning of our episode entitled 7 Vital Steps for Building a Christian Family, Part 1. Join us next time as we continue this conversation.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.